leading us this morning. Great job. Give him another round of applause. That was wonderful. Good job. We're going to go ahead and dismiss our children to go up to Children's Church right now, so you can go ahead and do that. And I want to encourage you. We have room, you can see, here in the choir loft for you. And you might think, yeah, but I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Well, we'll buy you a new bucket, and you can get up in there. And the psalmist wrote and said to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He didn't say you have to be, you know, pitch perfect or anything like that. But you can come up here and sing because you love Jesus. And we would love to have you part of our choir, especially men. Some of you men I know are saying, well, I would go, but no one else is. Well, be the first one and come and join us and be a part of what we're doing here in our music ministry. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 1. And we're going to spend just a few moments as we have this first of our 3 weekends of Easter worship, Easter celebration. Next week, we're going to be celebrating and observing the Lord's Supper together on Palm Sunday. And then the following week, of course, is Easter Sunday morning. As I was thinking about this musical that we were doing, the Song of the Lamb, I was thinking about that great declaration that John the Baptist had here in John chapter 1. In fact, we had a song, I think it was our second or third song, that used this verse that we're going to be talking about. But if you look in John chapter 1, starting in verse 19, would you stand with me in honor of reading the Word of God this morning? This is what it says. This is John's testimony when the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him, "Who are you?" He did not refuse to answer, but he declared, "I am not the Messiah." "What then?" they asked him. "Are you Elijah?" "I am not," he said. "Are you the prophet?" "No," he answered. "Who are you then?" they asked. "We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What can you tell us about yourself?" He said, "I am a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' just as Isaiah the prophet said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, so they asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you aren't the Messiah, or Elijah, or the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John answered them. "Someone stands among you, but you don't know him. He is the one coming after me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to untie." All this happened in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I told you about. After me comes a man who has surpassed me because he existed before me. I didn't know him, but I came baptizing with water so he might be revealed to Israel." Lord, we thank you for this day that we can celebrate and remember that you came as that Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And I pray in these next few moments you would speak to our hearts and help us to leave here changed for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's two very important things that we want to look at here. And the first thing is we want to look at John the Baptist. John came, and if we were to go into specifically the book of Luke, there in chapter 1, we would see how John's parents were miraculously told of this birth that was going to take place of John, the one we call John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. And we see that he had just an amazing life set out before him, that the angel Gabriel stood there in the temple, in the sanctuary, as his father went in. And he said, "Listen, this one's going to come, and he's going to be one that's going to go proclaiming the way of the Lord." And so I love John as he goes through in his life and ministry, and we know that he lived out in the wilderness, and he was kind of rough looking a little bit. He kind of didn't fit in with the rest of the crowd. He ate some weird things. He wore some weird clothes. And so as he was going through his life, he just said, "This is what I'm doing. I'm just proclaiming. I'm just proclaiming that the Messiah is coming. I'm telling you that there's someone that is coming that is more important than me." In fact, he says it here. He says, "He surpassed me because he existed before me." Now, we know that Jesus was born here on earth after John the Baptist. So how could he say that Jesus existed before him? Well, he was proclaiming the deity of Jesus, his eternality, that he has always existed because he is God. And so he says, I'm just calling out, I'm just making the way known, I'm just calling people to repentance. I just want people to know that the Messiah is coming. There's an old gospel song that the chorus says this: I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Church, isn't that what we're called to do? Isn't that what we just did this morning with our choir? That we were just a bunch of nobodies. We're not really anybody. In fact, here's something great to know. Probably within about 100 years or so of your death, no one's going to remember that you existed. Isn't that great to know? That you're here for a little while and then people are going to forget about you. But we can have an eternal impact if we're not worried so much about us as we are about the one who saved us, that we're just a bunch of nobodies, that we're trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody. And so the first thing that we need to walk out of here this morning with remembering is that we're called to tell people about Jesus. Certainly, we think about the gospel around this time of the year as we think about Easter and we think about Good Friday, as we think about Easter Sunday morning, as we think about all of the events that transpired there, specifically from Palm Sunday when Jesus came into Jerusalem and people were proclaiming him as the king, as the Messiah, as they were lining the roads and they were calling out and they were waving palm branches and they were laying them down on the road and they were laying their clothes down on the road and they were just saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were saying, he is mighty, he is the one to save us. And then a week later, they were the same ones yelling, crucify him, crucify him. So our job, church, our job is to proclaim the Messiah. Our job is to not just gather here together. Our job is not just to come in here and have our little holy huddle. It's not just to show up and get our free donuts and coffee. It's not to feel good about our life because we did something right for a change. No, our job is to proclaim the way of the Lord. We're supposed to be like John the Baptist. You know, one of the things I love, if we were fast forward to John chapter 3, verse 30, that John the Baptist is speaking and he's talking about Jesus and he says this: he must increase and I must decrease. He was kind of a famous dude a little bit. People were coming from all over Israel to hear John the Baptist preach. And he was baptizing a lot of people. In fact, we see here in this story that the Pharisees were sending people to find out who he really was. He was well known. And, you know, he's saying, I need to kind of fade into the background here a little bit. I need to be not so prevalent because I need to make him prevalent. It should not be me that's getting all the attention. It should be Jesus getting all the attention. So, church, that's what we need to do. We need to go from here and we need to share the message. What is the message that we share? Well, I love what John said here in John 1:29. He says, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We talked, I think it was last week, about making sure that we don't overcomplicate the gospel. You know, John was saying right here, he was saying there's a sacrifice that has to be made. How do we know that? Back up to the book of Genesis. What do we see after that first sin? We see God taking those animals and killing them to provide a covering over the shame of the sin that Adam and Eve had. So they had clothes. Then we fast forward to Moses in the book of Exodus. As he's there on Mount Sinai and he's receiving the law from God, and there's talk of sacrifices, and there's talk of how there needs to be a blood sacrifice. And in the book of Hebrews, we're told that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sins. And so here, the proclamation that John makes is, hey, listen, you know how we go to the tabernacle, how we go to temple all the time, and we have to take our offering there? Well, guess what? There's an offering that's going to be made that'll wipe that all away. You know, one of the things that I love about the story of the crucifixion is that as Jesus hung on that cross and as he died, there was a great veil that separated the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, from the rest of the temple. And as Jesus died, that veil was torn apart. You know what that was saying? We now have access to God. Why? Because of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So church, we need to be those who are going out like John the Baptist proclaiming. And we need to be going out proclaiming what he proclaimed. Here is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as we come to the end of our time together this morning? And in just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to stand and worship together through song and respond to whatever God's putting on our heart this morning. But church, there's two things in front of us that are important. One is of utmost importance, and that is this. Have you believed in the Lamb of God? Are you putting your faith and trust in only Jesus? Knowing that his blood was shed for my sins, for your sins. He was that perfect sacrifice. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you called on the name of the Lord? If not, today can be your day of salvation. Today can be the day that you walk out of here not just knowing in your head about Jesus, the Lamb of God, but knowing in your heart Jesus, the Lamb of God. You can just whisper a prayer. There's no special formula or anything you have to say. You just whisper something to Jesus like this. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I'm asking you to forgive me and give me a place in heaven. Friend, if you just whispered something like that this morning, the Bible says that you are a new creation. You have relationship with God, and better yet, your sins are forgiven. But I know for the majority of us in here today, we already know the Lamb of God. Are we talking about him? Are we proclaiming him everywhere we go? Are we going out and saying, look, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and I need you to know him. I need to fade into the background, and I need to put him into the foreground. Church, that's what we're called to do. We're called to share his story. Lord Jesus, as we close our time of worship together this morning, I pray that you would impress upon each one of our hearts what you would have us to do. That we would have a want to, deep inside, that we would know, this is the person I need to share with, or maybe I need to give my life to Jesus, or whatever it is, Lord, that you're putting on our heart, I pray that we'd be obedient to do. Father, I thank you that you sent that perfect Lamb, that Jesus, who is God, came to live a perfect and sinless life, who died a sacrificial death, and who rose bodily from the grave, so that at this time of year, we don't just celebrate with chocolate and with bunnies and eggs and all those things, but we can celebrate because Jesus is alive and because we can have life too. Help us to do what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.